This is Sarah.
And this is Cassandra.
And this is A Twist of Crime. Welcome back.
Hello.
This is our second episode back, so
we're getting work done.
We're working on getting a more consistent schedule down. We're working out schedule kinks and stuff like that. So we've got a lot going on, but we have lots and lots and lots to talk about.
Yes.
So, but this week, we are bringing you my secret case.
Yes.
That Cassandra does not know about.
So, last week, it was the Ayotzinapa mass kidnappings of, I kept saying the 48 last time. It's the 43. Oops. I had a typo. Like, literally one typo. I'm like, oh, it's the 48. Like, no, it's the 43. So, 1-3 looks like an 8, and now it's the 48. But no, it's the 43. My brain lied to itself.
It's all good. Yeah. But we want to, you know, we'll correct it. It was it's 43 students that went missing and are still missing. Just throwing that out there. They're still missing.
Yes.
We don't know where they are. They've been missing since 2014.
Cold case.
So, it's not a very positive outcome, most likely.
Yeah.
So, but on that positive note,
we continue on to another true crime case.
We are going to go ahead and jump into this because there's a lot to cover. There's a lot. This one is, I'm going to do this for every episode, but I really am going to do this for this one. I'm going to throw all the trigger warnings out there.
Oh.
It's everything. There's murder, there is home invasion, there is rape, there is, and I'm sorry if that word triggers you, but I'm going to say that, sexual assault, there is animal cruelty.
Oh, for love of Christ.
But I will try to give everyone, and I, out of respect for the victims, there is a lot more, on certain aspects of this case, there are a lot of details that are out there. The court transcripts are out there. If you really want to look at it, you can. I don't necessarily recommend it. It was atrocious. But I want to give that little warning that I am going to cover a little bit, but in generic terms. I'm not going to go into specifics because I just don't think that we need to. It's bad enough on its own. I don't need to go into every grisly detail. Usually I'm fine with details, but this is, you will see why I say that. But okay, we're going to jump into it. So I, this week, am bringing you the Wichita Massacre.
We love massacres in these past two episodes.
Right. But it's the Wichita Massacre, which was perpetrated by two brothers. They were called the Carr Brothers. So originally when we were going to do these two secret cases, they were, Cassandra's birthday and my birthday are a day apart.
Day after each other, yeah.
So, I had picked this, I literally searched for crimes on our birthdays.
Are you kidding me?
I did. So these are on our birthdays. We're much later now. But at the time we were supposed to be recording right around our birthday. So that's why these happened on our birthdays. So, but that was why I picked, I was like, oh, great. Like, this will be, you know, interesting to see what hops up on our birthdays.
It's not like any historical events didn't happen.
Right. Not like, you know, Pearl Harbor. You know, nothing important.
Mm-hmm.
That's sarcasm if anybody missed it. Right. So,
moving along.
Moving along. So anyway, these events, because there are multiple events that happened over about a week.
Oh, for a little.
Yeah, it happened. So it was December 7th of 2000 through December 14th of 2000. So that is a BC case. We're before Cassandra.
Not by much.
But, not by much, but we are. So at the time of the crime, the two brothers, their names were Reginald Carr and Jonathan Carr.
Oh.
Reginald Carr was 22 at the time that they perpetrated these crimes. Jonathan Carr was the younger brother. He was only 20 at the time. Reginald was born November 14th in 1977. Jonathan was born March 30th of 1980. And they grew up in Dodge City, Kansas, which is like an outlying town of Wichita. And Dodge City is, dodgy. It's not a super safe place to live. It's got a 28% higher crime rate than the rest of the country, so...
Yeah, let's just Dodge City.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm giving some background purely for background. I'm not excusing any of their actions by giving this background. Just throwing that out there.
When you said the names, I'm like, yeah, that's fitting.
Yeah. So, their parents, both of them, were alcoholics.
Oh, joy. And
abusive. Jonathan at 7. So the reason why I give you a little bit of background is it does give a little bit of understanding of their mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it excuses it, but it gives a little bit of a just insight. But Jonathan at age of 7 attempted suicide. And I'm sorry, I did not include that in my trigger warnings, but yes, that, but at 7 years old. So that's pretty rough. And Reginald, who, again, was the older brother, was in and out of prison starting at a really young age. And that was due from drugs, violent offenses, armed robbery.
Well, it's not like his parents told him otherwise.
Right. We're not talking that they don't come from the greatest of a starting mm-hmm. point. So, just to say. So, on or around December 7th, they decided to go to Wichita, because Wichita is a little bit more of an affluent area. There's a little bit more money, mm-hmm. a little richer, at least richer than Dodge City, which I don't take that it takes much to be richer than Dodge City. But they decided to go to Wichita to follow. Their plan was to follow expensive cars. So they would clock an expensive car and figure that that person must have money, and then they would their plan was to carjack and rob the person.
Well, that didn't happen
in the expensive cars. So you know, oh, this person has a Mercedes. They must have money. So that was their thought process on it. We'll find out that. That wasn't the case, obviously.
Nice.
But, all right, so there's three sets of victims, three separate instances that they perpetrated. There were seven victims total, spread out over through the 7th through the 14th.
Okay.
So on, December, the, like, night, early morning of December 7th, December 8th. So,
good Christ.
There was a Wichita State University baseball player who was at a convenience store. He just stopped. I don't know if it was to get gas or drink or whatever it may have been. He mm-hmm. stopped, and his name was Andrew Schreiber. So, just letting you know off the top, like right off the top, he survived. With him, they kidnapped / carjacked him in his car. They forced him to go to, I think it was multiple different ATMs and pull out what ended up being a total of $800. I know. Like, okay, great. I think the way that they subdued him was they initially, like, hit him in the back of the head. But after they took him to the ATMs and had him pull that money out, they actually made him drive out near, like, a desolate area near the airport where there wasn't much around.
Yeah.
They shot out the tire of the car, one of the tires, and left him in the car and left him for dead with a pretty serious head injury. So that was the first, that's what started this whole ball rolling.
I don't like where the ball is rolling.
Oh, girl, it gets super bad. Super bad. So, I'm going to jump forward a few days. On December 11th, there was a 55-year-old cellist with the Wichita Symphony.
Oh, no.
From what I could tell, she was single. She lived by herself. And she was returning from symphony practice, and she pulled into her driveway. They were waiting for her in her driveway. They had clocked her car earlier. And I don't know how they figured out or made that decision, but she had a nice car, but she just had, it was just because it was a reliable car, and mm-hmm. she lived by herself. It wasn't necessarily because she was extravagant. Yeah. She saw them. She actually tried to back up and drive away, but they actually, ended up shooting at her and shooting her. She got shot. And they left her, they robbed her. They took what she had on her, and left her for dead in her driveway.
Well,
and I think I think I've got it lower in my notes, but I think a neighbor is who found her. She did, mm-hmm. and she also, just like Andrew, initially survived the attack.
Mm-hmm.
But however, he had the head injury. She had shotgun wounds. They're not shotgun, but gunshot. Gunshot wounds. Or wound. And she actually lived and was at the hospital. She was able to talk to the police, the investigators. She was able to give them all kinds of information. Like, she was coherent.
Dang.
So I don't know if they necessarily had connected the two crimes at that point. I think they were starting to.
Okay.
When
ba-ba-da-da.
The most heinous, if that's not already heinous enough, the most heinous of the they escalated as they went through those days. They escalated.
So, like, a typical serial killer.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah, even though this is more, I think, what they would consider a spree killing.
That's what because there's, like, spree, serial, and then there's another one. But, yeah.
But, yeah, so. So anyway, that all led up to kind of the, apex of what everything happened. The
climax?
Climax. I don't even want to use that word because that makes, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a connotation to that it might be positive. It's not positive.
It's the top of the Hell Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good way of putting it. But yes. Okay, so on the night of December 14th, because this lasted for hours.
Oh,
no. On the night of December 14th and early morning, December 15th, they actually invaded the house of the final five victims. So the way that this worked was, this was a what they call a triplex condo. So instead of a duplex, it was three instead of two.
Really?
And it had two different floors. And there were five people that were present. The first was Jason Belfort. He was 26. He was a science teacher and a JV basketball coach. So what you're going to see is that all five, well, really all six, I mean, seven of these victims were more like salt of the earth, just nice, normal people.
Yeah.
But Jason, he was a science teacher, really well thought of, JV basketball coach.
Yeah.
The second was Brad Haka. He was 27. He was manager at a financial services company, and it was actually his condo. It was his place. And the third, so there were, let's see, there were three guys, two women
okay.
in the house. So the third person was Heather Mueller, and she was actually a Catholic preschool teacher who was, she was really sweet. And then Aaron Sander, who was 29, and he was actually studying to be a priest. And he kind of had like a turn in his life, I guess, and had decided to, you know,
go into
priesthood. And then,
okay.
And this is going to give away, but the sole survivor of this instance is the person that we're going to call HG. And the reason why I'm going to call her HG, and it was a woman, is most of the, any type of media that's been on her, that's all she's referred to. You can find her name. It's out there, her actual name. I'm not going to say it because it looks like that's been a request by her at some point that nobody uses. So I'm not going to. We're just going to refer to her as HG like other publications and things have been. Like, I saw a bunch of newspapers and then, you know, like little crime documentaries that...
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so she gave it out later, but at the time...
Well, she didn't even... I don't think she gave it out. I think it was discovered.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Dirtbags.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna put it out there. It's out there. If you really want to find it, I would say just don't worry about it.
No, just leave her in peace.
Yeah. I was able to find it. I'm not gonna give... I thought about it, and I was like, maybe not. So, anyway, HG was... Like I said, the sole survivor. She's 25 at the time.
And these guys were all young.
Yeah, they were. All were under 30. They were all mid to late 20s. And she was the sole survivor and witness, and she was an elementary school teacher.
That's not fun.
So, Jason and HG were actually a couple. And I think, I couldn't confirm this, but I believe... Actually, no, I did confirm it. I apologize. Heather Mueller and Aaron Sander had been a previous couple. They were all still friends, but obviously I think they broke up when he decided to go into the priesthood. So I don't know. You know, I didn't find anything about that. That's just what the dynamic was. They were all in the house, all sleeping in the same house at the time that this happened.
God.
So, it's just, like, guys, there's just so much. So, at the time, like I said, Jason and HG were a couple. Jason and HG were in bed. They, you know, were either getting, you know, they were in bed, ready to go to sleep, or... like
something.
Already asleep. I don't remember. I don't think they were asleep yet. I think they were just hanging out in bed. And so I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to come back in a little bit. But this was obviously December 7th, December 8th, or December 7th through that week.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas was coming up. Jason was actually...
Don't tell me he was fixing to propose.
He was fixing to propose.
God.
Mm-hmm. To HG.
That's...
He was going to propose on Christmas. He had the ring, and he had it hidden. So, they were in bed. So, the Carr brothers broke in. Bradley, Aaron, and Heather, they had broken in. Jason and HG didn't hear it, and the Carr brothers brought Bradley, Aaron, and Heather into Jason's room. So, where This is where it starts to get bad, where they made them all strip completely naked, all five of them, and they put them in the closet. After they put them all in the closet together, they ransacked the room for valuables, and at that point, they found the ring. So, they had this plan. So, HG knew that Jason was going to propose because in the midst of them ransacking, they found the popcorn tin that he had hidden the ring in so she wouldn't find it. They found the ring and they asked, whose ring is this? And that was when Jason said, it's mine. And he looked at HG and said, it's your ring. I was going to propose. So,
I mean, there's not a lot I can commentate on. Like, with the other episode, I was like, oh yeah, like, is it like this? Or, like, speculation. This is just
right
out there. Oh my God.
So, after they had done that, they actually took one victim at a time.
I don't like this.
I guess they dressed them again. I don't know exactly what the order of events. I'm not assuming that they took them naked. So they dressed them again, and they took one victim at a time to ATMs and had them withdraw money from their ATMs.
So were they locked in the closet?
I think one was holding them. Well, what happened was only one of the Carr brothers took them to the ATM.
Oh, yeah, there's two of them.
Yeah, one took them to the ATM. I should have said that. One took them to the ATM to get the money withdrawn, and the other stayed there and guarded the four that were left behind.
Well, I can say they're not stupid, but they're not exactly not sick.
So they took one at a time, but they only ended up taking three out of the house. And they got, I couldn't get a confirmation if it was per victim, but I think for all of the they ended up getting between $1,600 and $1,800 from the five of them. I think that was total, which, what they did to these people, $1,600 to $1,800 is a not to put a price on anybody's life, but that's just, like, really, for such a little amount of money.
I mean, they got $800 out of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they have very high standards.
Yeah. So, okay. So, let me... Alright.
I don't like that laugh.
I'm nervous even talking about it. So, what happened over the hours that they were held captive in their home,
mm-hmm.
They were bound and put in the closets. So, I think as they took one by the three and that they took one by one out, they put mm-hmm. their clothes back on, but when they brought them back, they made them strip again, is what I think happened, if I remember that correctly. So, they were bound and put in the closets. At which point, after they had gotten all the money, well, during and after, this all happened during and after the money, them taking mm-hmm. the one Carr brother taking them to the ATMs, both women were raped by both the brothers. And they were also forced to perform sexual acts on the men, the other three men that were being held captive. They forced at one point an orgy of all five of them. There was any and all combination of sexual assault that happened. I found a place where it kind of listed everything that had been made.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I'm not going into all of that, but I think it's enough to say that it was at the end of this, they had over 100 charges against them. Yeah. If that gives you any kind of idea of just how many heinous things they did to these people and forced these people to do. And again, remember, the one man was wanting to be a priest. The other woman was a Catholic preschool teacher. This was not, it was not behavior that they would have.
Yeah, and like, knowing Catholicism, it doesn't matter. And unfortunately, like, even if it wasn't your fault.
Right.
They say it's still your fault, and it sucks.
Yeah. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were, the only thing that I think they didn't do was force the men to have sex with each other.
The only thing they didn't do, was be sane people.
Right. And I don't know that the Carr brothers raped the men themselves, body to body. This whole thing was rape and sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the men were absolutely raped because all this was against their consent.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Carr brothers did rape both the women. But, like, both brothers raped.
The Carrs to the guys.
Yeah. So, around 2 p.m., they left the apartment. So, this is how this all went down. They took the three men. Now, everyone is naked.
Mm.
They put the three men in the trunk of, whose car was it? It was Heather's car. She had a Honda Civic. I think that's right. And they put all three of the men in the trunk together and shut the trunk, locked them in it. One of the Carr brothers forced Heather to drive the Honda, and he rode passenger. The other Carr brother took HG in a truck and made her drive. And what rode passenger, and they drove following each other out to this deserted road. So the truck that HG ended up driving was Josh's truck. So they drove out to Greenwich Street. It was like a soccer field complex. And this was, this is Wichita, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's winter. It was cold. It was very cold. So, at which point they got to this place, I guess they figured, oh, well, this is deserted enough. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's isolated, a soccer field, no one's going to be out there.
Yeah, they were still on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they forced all the victims out of the car and lined them all up in front of the car.
Oh, don't tell me it was like execution style.
Yes. Yeah. They put all of them in a little row and lined up behind them and shot them one by one in the back of their heads. And then ran over them with the car.
It's not only despicable, you're also sick garbage.
Yeah. Let me back up. They put all five out there, but the way that they did it was they put the three men together and they put the two women, like, separate and a little bit away from the three men. But they were still close enough. But yeah, they lined up behind them. They shot them all in the back of the head. They thought that they had killed all of them. But by whatever you want to call it, HG did not die. Because HG had a metal hair barrette in her hair that stopped the bullet for the most part.
This reminds me of the Night Stalker case.
Right.
Where he was trying to get into the house, and so the roommate of who ended up being a victim, she had her keys in her hand,
mm-hmm.
and she put her hands up as he fired,
and it
hit her with the force,
right,
and she fell. So he thought, oh, she's dead. So he went around and went inside, closed the door behind him.
Yep.
But the key had saved her life.
Yep.
Because of the metal.
It's crazy. But, yeah, she had you probably don't remember them, but and because probably people don't. Because people don't wear them as much anymore. But I used to wear them all the time. They're these big metal barrettes that you'd pull your hair back with. And so I kind of have an idea of what she had in her hair, but it stopped. It still, she was still shot. She was still injured.
Just but not it kept enough.
It, right. It kind of glanced. I think it just like slowed it down enough.
If it's
enough.
What I think it is, I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, whenever you said metal beret the first time, I was like, metal hat? And I was like, no.
Beret.
But yeah, in my head.
Oh, you heard beret?
I heard beret. I'm like, wait a minute. No, she said beret.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. I need to go English mode.
So, as far as I know, the only person that they had allowed, I think they let both the women have like a shirt just because it was cold. But they didn't have anything else on. They were completely naked, but with just a shirt on. So they shot all five of them. All five of them basically fell to, mm-hmm. on the ground, where at that point they drove over them. I'm assuming, I feel like HG was like at the end of the line of the five of them. Yeah. So she was like the least, like, I guess they didn't actually hit her with the car. I don't well, know like, that for sure.
The velocity, I don't know.
Yeah, so HG kind of came to. They left. All right. And HG kind of came to, and she actually, like, crawled over to Jason.
Mm.
And took her shirt off and wrapped his head and was trying to help him. But she knew he'd been shot in the head. Like, all four of them had been shot in the head.
Yeah.
So, but of course, she went to Jason because Jason was her boyfriend. And, yeah. You know, she, that was who she went to first. But I think she knew if they weren't dead, they were going to be if she didn't get help.
Mm-hmm.
So she ran a mile.
So,
stark naked. To a house, she saw a light, and she ran towards the light. No kidding, that is what she said she saw. Mm-hmm. It was Christmas, and somebody had a lit up cross, and she followed the cross to this house. So it was a mile. She was naked. So, it was winter. She's freezing.
So the cars took both cars.
Oh, no, I think they left the one car. They took the truck, I think. But I'll be able to... Yes, they left the car, and they took the truck.
So was it, like, out of gas, or did they take the keys?
I don't know. Okay, so...
I probably would have done the same freaking thing.
Yeah, so she...
I don't know why I'm looking at this.
Don't outfit. Even... Like, y'all... Like, she ran... She went a mile in the snow, naked... She got to the house. The people saw, obviously, I mean, she's covered in blood and naked.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did let her come in. She got on the people called 911 for her. She's like, no, I need to. She thought
give
she,
it to me.
She thought she was going to die. She thought she was dying. Mm-hmm. So she looked at the people. She said, no, I need to talk to them before I die so I can give them the information that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So
she was that coherent.
Right. But she thought. She thought for sure she was dying because she was in bad shape.
No, so,
right.
Being that conscious, I guess, that coherent, makes it all the worse.
Right. So, okay. So, all that's bad. It's all bad. But HG had a dog.
Don't tell me they went back to the dog.
They went back to the house.
I hate you both.
Yeah. I was a little... You're going to hate this. You're going to hate this
Don't
so
tell
much.
Me it's a schnauzer.
She's a schnauzer.
God! Friggin'...
She was a schnauzer. She was called Nikki. And when the cops got to the house later, she was dead on the bed.
For those of you that don't know why I'm so... Well, one, we adore dogs.
Right, yeah, we're both...
We're dog people, cat people, yes, whatever.
We're animal people.
Yeah. But personally, I have a schnauzer at...
A mini schnauzer.
She's a friggin' devil, but she guards the house better than the other two dogs, and they're big dogs. So the smaller the breed, the more ferocious most times.
Well, evidently, this dog wasn't even mean. Like, the, and yeah, everybody that said anything, they were like, This was HG's, like, baby. Like, it was her baby.
Well, my schnauzer's my mama's baby, and well, she yeah. still hates everybody.
Oh, yeah. True.
But, like, schnauzers can be very sweet. You just yeah. have to train them and socialize them, which we did not do enough of. I'm sorry for anyone who
but, yeah.
wants to come face
so,
her.
So, sorry, guys. I mean, yeah. I, like I said, animal cruelty. But they, yes, they, for no good reason. There was no reason to shoot her. There was no reason.
They definitely could have been serial killers.
They literally did it just out of, all of this is out of meanness. It's all out of meanness. There was no reason. They got the money. They could have stolen anything they wanted without killing these people, but they did it all out of just plain evilness.
Well, I guess so, God really had it out for them, or whoever y'all believe in, like, they really had it out for him. Because they always left a survivor. Which is...
So,
it sucks, but...
During this time... Now, okay, so they went back. They...
were horrible.
They, you know, shot poor, sweet Nikki. And they stole everything they could in the house. So now at this point, they don't know that HG survived. They think she's dead. Absolutely. They call five of them are dead. So they're doing whatever the fuck they want because they think, you know, everybody that knew it was them is dead. But... HG, obviously, as we know, survived. And she survived and told the police everything. She told them in great detail every little thing that happened. And so now the police have connected all three of these crimes. And because they have connected it, the media coverage has now picked it up. And they're like, oh... So these guys are still out there. They just executed five people on a road out in the middle of nowhere. And
so they
after torturing and sexually assaulting them for hours.
So did the media say they executed five people or four people?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they probably said that that one of them lived or was in the hospital. Like, I'm not sure if they actually came out and said one person.
I'm asking so many questions.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right. So, but they, at that point, though, the police did know that they had the truck. They had Josh's Dodge truck that they had driven out there.
Because
they left the Honda. They took the truck. So they had people on the lookout for it. And at that point, I think that they probably, the Carr brothers probably knew that they were going to be looking for the truck. I mean, they weren't stupid. So obviously they had an idea that somebody was going to be looking for the truck. So they ended up finding, the police found it in a parking lot, of an apartment complex. So I think it's really apropos the way that they got caught.
Well, then they got caught. So
there was a couple of different things. So Reginald went to... Okay, so let me back up. So let me start with Jonathan. Jonathan goes to a new girl's house, that was a friend. It was just a girl that he met randomly at a grocery store about a month beforehand. Didn't know her real well. Just shows up.
So who thinks, oh, I met this girl a month ago. Let me go see her after I executed five people.
It's weird. I don't get it. I guess they were sort of kind of dating or had just started talking. I don't know what the exact...
I sort of kind of dumped your butt.
But... So, she had seen Reginald on the news, and she knew Reginald, like, she recognized the name, and she knew Reginald was Jonathan's brother, so she asked Jonathan about it, because, Jonathan and Reginald were together when Jonathan met her, so she knew, she'd met Reginald, too. So she was like, I saw your brother on the news, like, where, you know, so her mother lived with, they lived together. It was, well, I guess it's her mom's house, but mm-hmm. so he, that he came to. Her mother got suspicious and said, let mama do the mama thing. And she was like, I think he might have a gun on him. I don't trust this SOB as far as I can throw him. And he was a big son of a bitch. So she was like, So while he's not looking, she goes to his jacket that he had hung up at, like, the front door and starts searching his pockets.
You found a gun?
No.
Or what?
You want to guess what else, what she found?
A knife?
Uh-uh. The engagement ring.
Ooh.
He had pocketed it.
I forgot about that ring already. Jesus.
He had pocketed it. So she's like, she tells him, she's like, they don't know that she's found it. And she looks at him. She's like, hey, y'all, I'm gonna
step outside.
Yeah, I'm going to step over to the neighbors for a few minutes. I'm going to go see what so-and-so's up to. And calls the police. Well, I guess Jonathan got an inkling of, that's a little suspicious. And as the police drive up, he realized what had happened. And he starts running. So,
bye, Reginald.
They, at that point, got a hold of, they caught him. He wasn't able to get away.
Mm-hmm.
But, so now Reginald had went to his girlfriend's apartment. And, I don't know exactly how they found out where he was. I guess because once they figured out it was him that had done it,
mm-hmm.
they knew all they had to do was look into acquaintances, and they were able to figure out who his girlfriend was. So they went to the girlfriend's apartment and clocked him, got him there. And when they caught him, he had Heather Mueller's watch and $1,000 and Jason Bedford's credit card on him. So they knew he was the guy.
Definitely.
He was the guy. So they knew that they had caught both. So they, at that point, everything starts. At this point, they're caught, so all the court proceedings start.
Mm-hmm.
So, Miss Walenta, who was the, I don't know if I ever said her name, I'm sorry.
No, mom.
Who was the cellist that got shot. Her name was Ann Walenta. I don't know that I ever said her name. I apologize. But she was the 55-year-old cellist that played for the Wichita Symphony. Well, she initially lived like what I told you, and she was able to give a full description. So they were also working off of her description when they were looking for them. So she was able to give them, she was able to identify Jonathan Carr, but sadly, she died of a pulmonary embolism due to her gunshot wound a few days after the arrest. Unfortunately, so she did die from the attack. It just was
delayed.
Not right away. Yeah. However, they didn't really, that was not one of the cases they pursued against the Carr brothers because it was mostly circumstantial evidence. They didn't really have, they had her witness testimony, but that's literally all they had. So they, you're looking at everything that they have, you've got to look at what can actually be prosecuted.
So they could literally just use the gun against them.
I don't know. That's a good question. I never saw anything about if they ever matched like the bullet that had been used on her, like that bullet to, I don't know if they had,
it's 2000, use your science.
Yeah, I don't know if they used, if the brothers used the same gun in all three, or the two crimes where they used the gun, if it was the same gun, I don't know, but.
We have on enough of the 100 charges.
Actually, I say that I didn't know, but I do. Miss Walenta was able to identify Jonathan Carr, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Schreiber, who was the first victim that they attacked and carjacked, mm-hmm. identified Reginald Carr.
Okay.
And they actually were able to run all the ballistics, bullets and casings recovered, matched for all three crimes. So it did, but of the three, mm-hmm. like of the three different crimes, Miss Walenta's case was the weakest, just because, you know, I'm sure there was other things that factored in. Like, there was no camera footage, but at the convenience store there was camera footage, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But they were able to collect casings and bullets and everything, and they were able to match to all three crimes, but they were not able to link them to either brother right away, if that makes sense. Yeah, it's frustrating. But, so, the Carr brothers both refused to speak to the police.
Of course they did.
Which, you know, I mean, I guess is the smart thing, even though they're, you know, dicks. But, yeah, so they decided that they would, that they weren't going to talk to the police, which is, I mean, their right. Yeah. But, but they ended up being, like I said earlier, charged with over 100 criminal counts.
Bye.
Including murder, sexual assault, burglary, theft, animal cruelty, which I actually love that they threw that one in there as a charge. And they were tried together. Both brothers were tried together, which I thought was interesting.
Who wants to go through that twice?
Right. So their defense attorneys attempted to get the venue moved because they didn't think that they would get a fair trial where they were going to be and it where they were at, and it was denied.
Yeah, no, they're garbage, and it's proven. Let them be garbage.
Yeah, so they were tried by jury, obviously, and the jury selection took the longest of any jury selection up to that point.
Because they got to go
in
out.
In the county.
Yeah.
HG testified on October. Now, this happened in 2000, right?
Yeah.
The court case didn't happen until, like, 2002.
Yeah, I figured.
Which, it usually is about 2-3 years, so. But, so she actually testified on October 2nd of 2000, I mean, I'm sorry, October 9th of 2002. November 14th, the jury returned with a verdict of death for both the Carr brothers.
So, is they dead now?
No. So,
I was so like, are they dead?
I know. So, one of the things that happened in Wichita at the time during all of this.
Don't tell me they changed.
No, but okay. What happens, the sale of guns, like locks, like home locks, mm-hmm. and home security systems, like, went up drastically. Like, everybody went out and bought the shit. They were like, I need, like, everything just, I mean, it just.
Nowadays, it's like, why didn't you do that before?
Right. But, so, both brothers did appeal, which is usually how that happens. You don't just not appeal a death verdict. So, when they did, they appealed, and their grounds that they appealed on was that they should not have been tried together. They should have been tried separately. Which, I get the argument, but at the same time, like, I don't see that it made
it. You did the crimes together.
Right. And I don't think it, to me personally, I don't think in this case it made any difference. Like, mm-hmm. So their death sentences were overturned by the Kansas Supreme Court in 2014 because I think what happened was, in 2014, that's when they were overturned. Now, in 2016, the U.S. Supreme Court reinstated death penalties that there are still appeals ongoing. So,
well.
So there's a little bit of a sweet ending to everything. actually, before I tell you that, I want to tell you a little bit more about the actual court case. So in 2001, they revealed that Reginald Carr, this is going to make you so mad, because my jaw dropped and I was just livid. I was livid. So in 2001, it was revealed that Reginald Carr, who was the worst of the two, like he was the more vicious of the two, should have been in prison at the time of the murders, but had been left, but was out by a math mistake made by two parole officers. Like, they had miscalculated things. So I don't know exactly how that happens, but he should have been in prison.
If you're a parole officer and you need to use math as your job, do it right.
Well, it was like a calculation as to like a release date, I think. But yeah, because
do the math right.
But all I could find is that it was a math mistake. But it was super controversial. People got super pissed, which agreed. If he had not been out, because it's very... I think everybody agreed that Jonathan Carr would not have committed these crimes on his own. It was the two of them together.
He was following him.
Yes. Also, I didn't mention this before, but there's another piece of controversy as far as this case goes. Mm-hmm. The Carr brothers were black. Every single one of their victims...
This entire time, I thought they were white.
Nope. And I wanted everybody... I wanted to, like... let that go.
Pull that.
But it was, there was a controversy because some people said that they should have been charged with a hate crime. Because they were black people that were very much like anti-white people. Now, I know that's controversial. It's a controversial statement. I get it. I'm not saying what I think one way or the other. I'm just saying that that was what the...
At the time.
Well, at the time, what the controversy was. People said that they should have absolutely been charged with a hate crime.
Well, they...
Because if it had been two... All their victims were white. If it had been two white people that had done it to a string of black people, they very well could have been charged for a hate crime.
Yeah, but...
Like I said, I don't know. I'm not saying one way or the other that I agree or disagree. I just, people said that that should have been tacked on, which honestly, they were already charged with over 100 different offenses. So would it have made any difference? I don't know. It's a little harsher of a sentence, I think, for a hate crime, but they already got the death penalty. So I don't know.
I mean, you can't say that they didn't intend to go out on a hate crime, but from what you said, like, their intention was just strictly carjacking and robbery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to, but all things considering...
Well, I think part of it, too, was they freely admitted that their plan was they were going to look for people with nice cars and go after them. Now, that doesn't mean that it had to be a white person, but they went to... I don't know. Like I said, I'm not saying I agree one way or the other.
It's a complicated case for that.
Yes. So, they have not been... they have not been put to death yet. Kansas has not executed anyone since it reinstated the death penalty in 1994. So, they have it, but they haven't actually put anyone to death with it. And I don't know either if they've ran out of appeals. I think they got sentenced in, what, 2002?
Yeah.
They've probably ran out of appeals by now, so they're... But, even without the death penalty for Miss Walenta's death, because it was murder, because mm-hmm. she died from an injury sustained from the attack... They both received life sentences with no possibility of parole for at least 20 years. So, that was tacked on. Like, so they're never getting out. They're never getting out. And in addition to that, Reginald received an additional 47 years for different offenses that they tacked on. Jonathan received an additional 41 years tacked on. So they have they have a lifetime to serve. So they probably won't be they probably won't be put to death, but they'll be on death row, and they'll never get out, which puts my mind at ease a little bit. Doesn't make anything better, bring back the people that they hurt, but so what I was going to tell you was that there was a couple of little there's a sweet ending to this. So during the process of the case being in trial and everything, Andrew Schreiber and HG both were able to testify.
And they met and they fell in love.
They did, and they have two children now.
Aw, that's still gotta be tough.
Yeah. But yes, the HG and Andrew Schreiber are now married. They have two children. And Andrew, because of this, went into the police force and is now a policeman. So, and every, so the preschool that Heather Mueller worked at, every year they have a Heather Mueller Love of Faith Award that they give out to a student in Heather's honor. And so I thought that was sweet, but HG and Andrew Schreiber's story, really, I thought that was really sweet. Because they were the only two survivors.
Like, long term?
Yeah, because Miss Wellington, I don't think, ever left the hospital. So she was able to give, her information testimony to the police, but she was never able to testify in court. Mm-hmm. Which I think is why they were saying, like, her case was the weakest, was because she never, their biggest point was, it was eyewitness testimony, like, you know, if she'd have been able to actually, but they still got 20 years for her death, so.
Either way, recently, like, eyewitness testimonies are shaky, yeah. I mean, psychologically speaking.
Right.
But.
She was pretty spot on. I mean, she remembered everything pretty clear. It was right away too. It wasn't like a
That's what I'm saying. Prolonged. But she was pretty quick about it.
Yeah, but because she was so sick and she didn't recover and she ended up passing away, she didn't get a chance to testify in court. So that was, you know, the only person that it happened to in that instance, they didn't have anybody to. Nobody was there to talk for her. Mm-hmm. So, but HG and Andrew both got to testify. And within the course of events, and who else in the world is going to understand? They both are the only people in the world that are going to understand what each went through.
To some degree, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they evidently are very happy and... They have two children. I'm sure it's. I'm sure they still have.
Mom, how'd you meet Dad?
Right. Aww. No shit. Can you even imagine that? Oof. I hadn't even thought about that. Oof.
When you said they had two kids, my mind immediately went, "Mommy, oh, God. How'd you meet Daddy?" I'm like, and they're like six in my head.
Like, I don't know. I had to come up with something really. I think I'd have to laugh. I do. I think I'd have to laugh. Or maybe, I mean,
they
not.
Have the internet.
Maybe
not.
Maybe.
They're what, a little bit younger than me? My age?
I don't know. I don't know how long. Well, it was probably 2003, 2004. So, yeah, probably.
A little bit younger than me then.
Maybe.
It's like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how long it was before they had kids, but... yeah. So, that is the story of the Carr Brothers and the Wichita Massacre and their reign of terror that they caused... for a week in Wichita. People were scared to death and scared to come out of their houses, and it caused everybody to get a security system and new locks for their doors. So.
Put it back.
I told you, it was, And I didn't even go into all of the detail of what they did to them, why they were held hostage in that house. That it was pretty, it's heinous. It's really heinous.
There's no speculation that can come out of it. Like, it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
Right. So, yeah. As far as I know, they are still serving their time. I did not look to see. I kind of assume, since Kansas doesn't really put anybody to death anymore, that they're just serving their time in prison. And they'll be there for the rest of their lives. So.
I mean, they executed people.
Yep. And they really did escalate every time it got worse.
Yeah, and that's when my mind went to Criminal Minds in the middle of it. I'm like, oh, spree killer, his brother, he must be a little bit more submissive because his brother is the dominant, like, older.
Yes, and Reginald absolutely was the people said that Jonathan really didn't, he followed his brother. He wouldn't have done a lot of the stuff that he did.
Yeah, and so it's like Reginald wanted more.
Yeah.
And Jonathan.
Reginald's a lot more evil and mean, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that.
It still doesn't excuse
that. That does not excuse either of it. And Jonathan was absolutely complicit, so he absolutely deserves to be where he is.
Yeah, so it's kind of like.
Yep.
You're still garbage.
Yep.
It's like.
Absolutely.
Stay where you are.
So, yeah. That's my surprise case.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Put it back.
Well, guys, that's all we have for this week. Hope you liked hearing about a case that I had not heard about before I found it.
Yeah, me neither. This sounds like one of those cases you would have on, like, friggin' Jeopardy. It's like, what happened in Wichita in 2000? And it's like...
Which, I mean, it's a really heinous crime. I think at the time, in the area, it was one of those things that was, like, all over the news.
Yeah, that's how I'm figuring. I'm like, 2000, Wichita, December.
And granted, in 2000, I was a freshman in high school, so I didn't really pay attention to the news, I'm sure, so.
I wasn't even an idea.
And I'm sure it was on some, like, national networks, but I don't remember hearing about it.
Yeah, it was probably, like, one of those local...
Yeah.
Big time things. Yeah. So, like, North Carolina, where we are, it's all very localized. Like, we don't hear about other states. Even in shows, you don't hear much about North Carolina.
Yeah.
But in North Carolina, you hear about North Carolina.
Right, yeah. I mean, which is, you know, the way it is anywhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all I've got. And I hope, you know, not necessarily enjoy it, but, you know, we're interested and found it, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely not as much giggling in this one out of misunderstanding.
It's not very funny.
Okay, like, out of misunderstanding. Like, I couldn't freaking say, what was it? Deutsch?
Deutsch.
Deutsch. And so we were giggling about that. Because the Annabelle Hernandez, who had won the Deutsch Free something or the other prize.
Yeah.
For her book about the 43. And so I was like, oh, so we had a laugh about that. And so it's just like, we couldn't really giggle about mispronunciations and stuff like that. This was a lot more...
There's going to be times where it's going to be a lot more serious than others. We can't always be funny. Make this funny.
No, I mean...
I mean, we can make fun of ourselves.
I mean, that's what we always do. I can't speak English half the time, and then...
I can't, well, you know.
But you can't process half the time. Well, that's why I was like, oh, so this is what a headache 5 minutes in feels like, because I was already like,
it's heinous. It's really bad. But yeah, you guys, there's a an Oxygen episode.
Ooh.
On the, I think it was like Killer Siblings is the one that I watched, but I did do more research outside of that, but that was, I did find the episode on that. But yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about that. I hope that
enjoy
the somewhat bittersweet ending
Yeah, that's kind of the only thing.
Kind of takes the sting off. But we will be back with new cases. We are delving into our... We're going to start a new series.
Yeah.
And we're only going to do 2 episodes off the bat of that series. I'm sure we'll pick up something down the line. But we're excited to surprise you with that. We're not going to tell you right now.
Because we don't even know.
But, well, we do.
Well, yeah, but like...
But we're not going to like... Yeah, we're not going to tell what our series is about.
We don't know which one we're going to do first.
Right, exactly. So, hope you guys liked it. Give us a like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Look us up on all of our social media at A Twist of Crime. And we have Facebook, Instagram.
Working on that TikTok.
Yeah, we're thinking about how we want to do TikTok, because there's, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways we could go about doing it.
Yes.
But yeah, look us up. Send us some messages. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And we hope you liked it. And we hope you come back and listen to some more.
Stay twisted.
Yeah. Stay twisted, guys. But not Car Brother twisted. Okay?
Please be normal.
Yeah. That's... No. That's not okay.
Bye.
Bye.